Real quick, before we get into the show, I wanted to share a new service called Getida that Ken and I have been using that has made us over $10,000 in Amazon reimbursements. The service requires no monthly subscription, and Getida collects a small percentage of the money they recover for you. It takes less than 5 minutes to set up and works on all Amazon marketplaces. Go to Getida.com, G-E-T-I-D-A, and enter promo code FTM400. That's FTM for firing the man 400 to get your first $400 in reimbursements commission free. How much money does Amazon owe you?
Welcome, everyone, to the Firing the Man podcast, a show for anyone who wants to be their own boss. If you sit in a cubicle every day and know you are capable of more, then join us. This show will help you build a business and grow your passive income streams in just a few short hours per day. And now your hosts, serial entrepreneurs David Schomer and Ken Wilson.
Welcome, everyone, to the Firing the Man podcast. On today's episode, we have the pleasure of interviewing Gary Garth, who authored the book Zero to 100 Million Sales Blueprint, which is endorsed by top executives at Google, Amazon, Microsoft, Meta, and many more. In today's episode, we hope to share some wisdom from Gary's accumulated 20 plus years of sales and business learnings in hopes of helping like-minded entrepreneurs and sales marketing leaders like our audience. Welcome to the show, Gary.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So to start off the show, can you share with our listeners a little bit about your background and your path in entrepreneurship?
Absolutely. So I am what you can define as a serial entrepreneur. I started my first business when I was 20 years old. That's back in Denmark, Europe. In case you couldn't detect from the accent, that's my origin. Back then, nearly 25 years ago, I was in retail. I was selling DVD players. For all you young listeners out there, that's before everything became streamed digital. So got into that, and we were actually one of the first companies in Denmark to launch an e-commerce store where you could buy DVD players and DVD movies, etc. Fast forward a couple of years, I was fortunate to sell that business because we were first mover and we got swept up by a larger chain. And then I took my path into sales. I've worked in outbound call centers. I launched big call centers with 150 plus agents, like hardcore cold calling. This was back when it was no digital dialing, IVRs. It was back when you had the handheld phone on your shoulder and you were just typing and you had a call list. You were scratching that out. So you learn how to hustle and navigate on the phone and talk to people's emotion, etc. And there was a good basis for my future endeavors because you learn all about like the principles of persuasion and how to, you know, the emotional triggers of when we're buying stuff, the same that applies for when you're copywriting, etc. I segued in from that into broadcast media. I was 5 years co-partner and media director for the largest radio station in Europe, Radio Energy, in the Danish division, and started to dabble around with media sales and channel sales. I was selling it to media companies and then also direct advertisers. And when all of a sudden offline started to get pushed by digital, Google started gaining traction, I then shifted to the other side and started a digital marketing agency. But it was not in the conventional fashions. I always been kind of a risk taker. I basically flew across the Atlantic from Denmark to Nicaragua. That's in Central America for everyone. And with the objective of starting like an outsource, low cost, high quality solution marketing services for U.S. clientele. So that combination of and now it's a globally outsourced world post-COVID, et cetera. But back then it was different. So we were very fortunate. We grew exponentially. We had almost 5,000 advertisers, $300 million in managed spend. We became very close partners, Google, Microsoft, et cetera. And we were awarded. It's like Inc. 5000 fastest growing company 4 years in a row or so. And then we started doing channel sales as well. So I also learned that part of selling into other companies. Basically, I would sell our marketing services to other marketing agencies and teach them how to sell our solutions to their end customers. The scenario could be a website or creative agency that just wanted to add PPC as an additional layer stream, but I had to then fly out and teach their account executives, how could you upsell? How can you position this as a bundle in a more attractive way and expand your share of wallet per client? So those channel sales experiences, both with Google, Microsoft, with other, really gave me a lot of insight into what moves the needle. Like you start to see patterns when you hire thousands of reps in my old last company, but you're also responsible for training thousands of reps at other companies. You start to see what works, what doesn't. Like what What sets a top performer apart from the rest? Why is the almost two out of three sales reps fail? Why is it that 80% of companies cease to exist within 1 year? There's certain patterns and there's certain things that successful people do. That's basically my, when I had the experience of, had the opportunity to step out of my last agency share, I sold the shares of my company. I then decided to try to take my earnings and my experiences and launch a new set of businesses. I'm an angel investor. I also run a growth accelerator and marketing agency and try to make a bigger impact this time by picking all the learnings and sharing with the world. And that's also why I decided to write the 0 to 100 million sales blueprint.
That's awesome. And so, yeah, we're excited to have you on the show, Gary. Thanks for sharing your background or experience. It's a wealth experience. And for those on YouTube watching on YouTube, we can see on in Gary's background, he's got a massive collection of conferences and show badges and stuff. So definitely a wealth of experience. So first question that I have for you, you brought up a really interesting statistic, and we hear it all the time in the business world. You know, 80% of businesses fail within 1 year. I think that statistic goes up into the high 90s after 5 years. And so for the listeners, what are some things that, what should they not do to fall into that statistic? What can they do to be successful?
The list of what not to do is very long. Maybe let's focus on what they should do. And you're right? The statistics is mind-blowing. Like, I think if I knew the statistics back in when I was 20 years old and so forth, I would probably never started my businesses, because you basically have it back up against the wall, right? And what is it? Like, only 4% make it beyond 10 years, right? 4%. And only 10% of those 4% ever surpass $1 million in annual recurring revenue. I mean, so you're basically a mom and pop shop or a little lifestyle business. That's your, if you're successful. And then the very few, the 1% actually make it. So I think my 2 cents on that topic is, if you want to beat the odds, if you want to become successful, there's no silver bullet, to be frank. I hate to say it. And, you know, but I also need to say it, because nowadays everybody, we all Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, and everybody got a shortcut for everything. And there's a hack, and take this course and do XYZ and you'll cut the learning curve. You know, first of all, you got to do your research. You got to work your ass off, right? And be up for the journey. So in my book, it's 420 pages of basically how to set up, launch, and scale a business, again, from 0 to 100 million. But the first couple of chapters, even though it's a book that's very heavy on sales and marketing, it's all about getting into the right mindset and doing the right preparation. Like, so what to do, to be more specific, it's like, first and foremost, conduct proper research, right? So many companies, and I know this because I'm also a part-time angel investor. I have an accelerated platform, and I've been pitched like hundreds of times from companies. And I always like, not going to compare it like Shark Tank with my questions as specific as this, but like 99 out of 100 hasn't done proper planning. They haven't done competitive research. They haven't dived into the legality of selling a product, whether it's trademarked or not, building out a three-year forecast, understanding what's the cost per acquisition going to be, what's the margins, what's the operational cost, then thinking about what resources do I need to execute on that. And then when you think about the resources needed to execute, I think the number one reason why a company ceases to exist is because they fail to produce enough revenue, right? So sales is number one. Like I say in my chapter two, it's like, I got 99 problems, but sales ain't one of them. That's why I'm still in business. I'm certainly not the smartest, the sharpest tool in the shelf. I don't have an MBA, anything like that, but I've always been focused to say, okay, I'd rather have a fulfillment problem than a sales problem. I mean, if I got revenue, I can pay myself out of the problems. I can find a consultant that can help me. I can hire smarter people than myself. So many entrepreneurs are professionals in their craft, right? They're very good engineers. They're very good accountants, whatever it may be. They want to jump into their own business, but they have a plan for everything else except for sales. So I put a strong emphasis on, like, first figure out, like, double down on your strengths and delegate the rest. Do a proper assessment of who do you need to partner up with if you don't have that skill set, or who do you need to hire, and do you need to give them equity, and how do you do that? If so, to find the right VP of sales or your right partner who has sales skills, if you are maybe engineer by trade. And then when you go to market, it's like, okay, let's factor sales into the plan. Like, literally 9 out of 10 companies I talk with do not have a sales plan. They're more like, okay, let's put together a website and pitch a little bit, and then we'll start adding a CRM, and then maybe we hire one more salesperson, but there's not a replicated formula on how to do things. So creating a plan beginning with the end in mind goes a long, long way. And if you don't have the knowledge knowledge, highly recommend mentorship, right? Stand on the shoulders of other giants, right? Success leaves clues. Follow other people who has already gone through that learning experience that can save you tens of years and hundreds of thousands of dollars in pain and losses, so to speak. So again, it's hard to give you a short answer. There's several things you need to do, and that's what I cover in the book, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. No, excellent advice. And one thing that we always say is sales solves problems. Without sales, it's hard to solve problems. So
yeah,
excellent. David, over to you.
Absolutely. So as you have started many of your various ventures, what have been some of the struggles that you have run into, and how did you overcome those?
That's a long laundry list as well. So to anybody who is considering to become an entrepreneur, just started as an entrepreneur, I just recently started a new project, and guess here where I am again. It's unexpected challenges, right? It's just part of the game. One of the big things that comes to mind, like in most of the ventures prior to this, was being bootstrapped, running out of cash, and then having to put forth that extra effort. A very good example was like my adventure, for instance, in United States and Nicaragua, with that setup that eventually grew very fast, 8-figure agency. We were dependent on funding from the Danish government because we got funding to set up operation in this third world country. We were qualified because of the job creation impact, the social impact, the innovation impact in the country. But because of political unrest in the country and an election process that wasn't like by the textbook, all of a sudden the embassy shut down, the funding was not there. And for 8 months, to give you an idea, for 8 months, I lived kind of like two lives. I would wake up at 11 p.m. I would then get to the office by midnight, 1 o'clock, and then I would work with Danish clients overseas, 8-hour time difference, sell to them to basically finance the operation in United States from 9 to 5 o'clock. I would go home, get a couple hours sleep, and I got a lot of gray hair and an ulcer, and it was very, very tough, but I did that for a long period of time just to not go out of business. So I faced my challenges that, again, if you're just ready to go all in on sales, you could typically solve those kind of challenges.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm detecting from your wealth of experience a lot of hustle, a lot of dedication, and then just like so conquering problems, which I think is just something that goes back to that statistic of that 80%, 90%, 95%. Like, I think it just weeds out who's willing to like go that extra mile. Having said that, can you discuss the path from 0 to 100 million in sales, the blueprint, maybe at a high level?
Yes, absolutely. So the first thing is, you know, as I mentioned, as an entrepreneur, as a founder, or whoever you have appointed for that, is putting, always think about like, okay, we only have so much time. So it's just like the Pareto principle or the 80-20 rule. Try to put all of your time into revenue generating activities at the first stage, right?
If you want tips and strategies on how to start, grow, and monetize your business online, check out the Digital Revolution podcast with Eli Adams. We interview digital experts from around the world that share their personal stories. They talk about what they're currently working on and where they see the future going. But most importantly, they share tactics in their specific area of expertise with the hope of helping you improve your digital presence online. You can listen to the Digital Revolution podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, or simply click on the link in the show notes below.
It could be anything. Shoot Loom videos and send out to prospect. Create promotional copy, etc., that could be used to generate leads. Speak with prospects. Help your reps writing pitches. Whatever you can do, focus on revenue generate. And that's the first thing to get off the ground. And then once you get things off the ground, then you got to start hiring your first sales rep. That's where a lot of people then fail. And like in my book, I have a whole chapter devoted to that where it says like great salespeople are made, they're not born. So if you go into a business, a common mistake is like, okay, we got a big, let's search for other experienced salespeople in this industry. They want 6 figures because they're already proven successful in another company. They got to join your startup. You got to give them equity. It's a really hard hire and it's going to cost you a lot of money. And very often they fail. Why? Because they have been used to a different support system. Maybe marketing was feeding them all the leads. Maybe they had a strong sales ops team that did a lot of the administration work. Maybe you had a different product or different audience, deal customer profile. So there's many reasons reasons why they don't necessarily prior success means success in the current Joe. So instead, I put in my book that have 20 attributes to look for in your future sales champion, right? What are the kind of things like, because if you have the right sales plan, if you have the right coaching framework, an onboarding plan for 90 days, so like so they learn everything, and if you can, you know, document what you have tested out and what works and put it into systems, you can hire, they just need to have the right attributes and the right attitude, and you can coach them for the rest. And then that's kind of like the first layer. Then how do you go from 1 to 2 to 10 people, right? And then once you hit 10, 20 people, you need to have a good VP of sales or sales manager or chief revenue officer, whatever it is. And that's like the next phase where you need to make sure that you're finding somebody that can create systems and frameworks for scale. And what I mean by all that is it's all about having processes for everything. It's making sure that your technology is paired up with those processes so that all of a sudden you aiming for efficiency, effectiveness, and it becomes scalable, right? So that's one of the next things. And that comes also like I put in my book, with organization comes empowerment, right? So finding, for instance, a sales operations person or somebody that can tie everything from strategy down to technology to performance and operation, that it really is tied up together. Then further steps is, and then I'm just on a rant here, sorry guys, but it's not a simple answer to it. But another thing is, like, I have in chapter 11 of my book, perceive value and influencing success rates. What do I mean by that? Well, very common, like that makes a lot of companies hit the glass ceiling, is that now you start building, you're creating a company, there's 30, 40 employees or so, and you're still walking around as a founder, spinning wheels, making it all work, right? Creating processes, but you have your marketing and sales team that's really trying to push forward, but they're working in different silos, right? You got the marketing guys with their metrics and KPIs, and you got your sales guys, and they're not unified, right? So that's basically like the popular concept of marketing, making sure that you're aligning the sales metrics, marketing metrics, KPIs into one system, right? So everybody's pursuing the same goals and focusing on the same direction. Magic happens simply when you master. And even the biggest companies have challenges with that in these silo organizations. So that's why I devote a whole chapter in the book, that's chapter 6, In God We Trust, Everybody Else Brings Data. Make sure that you define the top 25 metrics that are your important metrics to get achieve your KPIs, your numbers, right? Many people say, okay, well, yeah, we got to get sales, but what does that mean, right? Break down the whole funnels. Think of it from a marketing standpoint and get everybody pushing towards the same activities. So there's a lot of things to that. One of the last chapters is then with the significance of technology and scale. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here, because technology nowadays gives you the ability to speak to hundreds of millions of people at once, right? If done the right way. But it's at the same time, it could be counterproductive. Like one of my favorite authors is Jim Collins, you know, the author of Good to Great, Great by Choice, etc. In one of his books, and I remember it clearly, he had these 10 companies amongst 1,400 on the NASDAQ, right, that outperformed the rest by 30x. And he examined these, and it's based on data, and he examined, like, what are the commonalities? What do they all do that makes them successful and take them from good to great? And one of the things was that they use technology as an accelerator. They only adopt technology when it can amplify what they're really good at, and then is scaling things up. And nowadays, I think, like last time I checked, an average company has about 60 applications, sales, marketing, operational tools, and trying to piece that all together so it makes sense and everybody's following. That's an important piece of the puzzle as well. So to get to 100 million is my point. You need to factor in all those things, and there's a certain roadmap where you have to implement all the different steps in order to get to that point.
Very nice. I like that. And your book is available. Where can we buy this book?
Yeah, it's $30 on Amazon, paperback, hard copy. There's also a Kindle version. But if okay with you guys, I would love to give a promo to all your listeners and basically a giveaway of my book. Why? Because again, like, I made a lot of money of my last company. And for me, I use it a lot, obviously, as a lead generator. But one of the most gratifying things is to talk with entrepreneurs and then giving them a little feedback. Hey, that helped me really take this to the next level. So I like to give this book to all entrepreneurs. And if you go to my website, garygoss.com, you can also go to the domain 0 to 100 million.com. You can go to the book and you can type in the coupon for your show. Let me just pull it up. Firing the man. You put in firing the man all in one into the coupon code, and you get get the book for free. There's just a $10 shipping and handling fee for domestic shipping in US, and you'll get this bad boy 420 pages sent to you.
Awesome. I'm going to be doing that immediately following this in this podcast. So
I welcome your feedback.
Thank you. So I read an excerpt from the book, and you talk about the DNA and mindset needed to become a one percenter. Can you go into that a little bit further?
Obviously, it depends on 1% of which role you are and so forth. But if there's sales, it's also having those attributes, etc. But it's about amplifying your why. That's one of the reasons I also created this Goals, Grit, and Greatness Planner. I use it in all my companies. I give it to many of my prospects. I'm a big fan of coaching. I have coached all my life. I've been with Tony Robbins' Platinum Program, spend $100,000 a year and flying to events and being with them and tried all coaching methodology. For me, everyone needs a coach, right? But a planner like this can act as your coach because it can help you write things down. Like, it's proven. So writing down your goals, you have like a 40% advantage over the rest of the population in achieving your goals just by doing that. So this planner is all about, it starts with a self-assessment. Who am I, right? Understanding my triggers, what drives me, which emotion, and working on those strings, installing the right habits, right? All the most successful people, there's a lot of successful people, for instance, that don't get up early in the morning, but funny enough, everybody who gets up early in the morning are usually successful, right? So there's certain habits you can install, and this is all about habit building as well, right? So creating a morning ritual, creating an evening ritual, following up that you execute on it, creating annual goals, learning how to tie up those annual goals with your long-term vision, taking those annual goals, breaking them down into quarterly goals, because we all fall victim of being overly ambitious, wanting to do everything at once, right? And then you fail to execute on half of the things. So how do you select those 1-2 priority goals that can make the biggest impact towards your life vision and then execute on them? And then distilling it into weekly priorities, a weekly plan, a daily goal for that matter, and then continuously be reflecting on that journey. And that's why I created the Goals, Grit, and Greatness Planner. And I think that is the mindset that you need to embody, right? There's no, again, no silver bullet. You gotta have a strong why, because the journey is gonna be freaking hard. So when you meet adversity, you gotta have a strong purpose to move through all that bullshit, right? Otherwise, you're not gonna be disciplined and persistent enough to be successful. So that's one thing. And then secondly, you gotta surround yourself with the right people, have the right habits, and then be able to execute it. And there's not one thing you can do. You gotta have all those things to become that 1%. In my humble opinion, it's not that I'm necessarily the most successful, but I don't have a college degree. I don't have a long education. I jumped out of high school to start my own businesses. So I was like, I read every single sales and business and personal development book I could get my hands on. And you start to see patterns in people. You read biographies in terms of what works and what doesn't. And that's basically what I've tried to put into, combine with my learnings both into the book and the planner.
Yeah, no, that's killer. Wanted to say thank you for, extending that free book to the Firing Man audience. If you're listening to this, you should be hungry for information if you're an entrepreneur. And so here's a free book offer. Go to GaryGarth.com, search for the book, the 0 to 100 million sales blueprint. Click on it, use coupon code Firing the Man, pay for the shipping, you get a wealth of information. You get to absorb everything that Gary has learned over a decade or two decades of experience. You get to absorb all that and level up. And so I would encourage all the listeners to go do that. So Gary, before we get into the fire round, I wanted to see if there's anything else we skipped over, anything else you want to share with the audience that you think is crucial for entrepreneurs and for scaling and leveling up.
I would say, I know, like there's a, if you open up LinkedIn or social media or any media outlet or whatever, it's a very pessimistic view on things right now, right? And Silicon Valley Bank just closed, etc. Fear not, right? Move forward, right? Now is the actual opportunity. If you're good at something and you can go all in at it, this might be the opportunity of life. Don't hold back. Double down on your marketing and sales right now. Now is the opportunity where everybody else is being cautious. That would be my one takeaway for everybody listening in the show. We need some entrepreneurs out there that are successful.
Yeah, like that step on the gas. Be a risk taker sometimes, right? Are you ready for the fire round, Gary?
Let's do it.
All right. What is your favorite book?
Favorite book. There's a lot. That's what I'm thinking. You know what? I really liked Shoe Dog by Phil Knight, the founder of Nike. Amazing book, right? His whole entrepreneurial journey, even a $100 billion company like that, the amount of problems that he faced, like I put in my book, it's just common, expected. And how he overcame it, it was just like, I couldn't put the book down.
Yeah, I'm the same. I couldn't put it down. And the stories in there were like...
Right?
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. What are your hobbies?
Very diverse. I love to play basketball. I go a lot to the gym. I like to travel, go out a lot. I like to DJ too. Like tomorrow, I'm DJing at a club. I just like to do a lot of different stuff and dwell into it. And I do a lot of activities that I try to take my mind off work. Because if I'm not doing something, my head is spinning. So I got to get I got to be exhausted at night when I go to bed.
Okay, that's awesome. Always busy. What is one thing that you do not miss about working for the man?
Not one thing. I can't narrow it down to one thing. It's the bureaucracy, right? It's the, especially if you just have half a brain and you work in a company, if it's not where they're embracing, you know, suggested solutions that can make impact, but it's just like, do it this way because that's how we always done it. That's kind of like the theme that comes to mind when I worked a lot of companies. Hey, great idea. Let's do this. Let me work on this pilot. I know I'm hired for this, but would I be able to do that? That's not necessarily for all companies. For instance, I worked very closely with Google for 10 years and their challenge sales program, and they hired me to enable agencies. And they have, like, for instance, that 80-20 rule where you're allowed to 20% of your time work on job activities that's not in your job role per se. So it's not everybody. 9 out of the 10 men out there, they will tell you, do this and shut the fuck up and move on. And that's one thing why I would probably not go back to that.
Okay, excellent. What do you think sets apart successful entrepreneurs from those who give up, fail, or never get started?
Discipline to do what's needed, the hard things. Putting sales first, for instance, this is freaking uncomfortable to talk with a prospect or get rejected 99 times in a row. But having the discipline to do the hard task, then do it consistently, do it on a daily basis, forgetting the you know, putting the excuse mentality on the side, that's the number one thing. The rest you can figure out. Just having discipline, that's a hard one for everyone. That's why you got to write it down and have it in your face. Like every time and time again, like I'm very conventional. Like I would print some stuff out and put it in my fridge or in my bathroom mirror, et cetera. So it's just up in my face all the time. So I kind of like coach myself, come on, this is the goal. Let's push through it.
That's awesome. Yeah, I really like that. So I've got a bonus one for today, the audience. And this is just because from Gary's from Denmark. And so Denmark is, if for anybody that doesn't know, I recently found this out. They're usually in the top 3 to 5 most happiest countries in the world. And so, Gary, can you share anything from your home country that you're like, if anybody's on YouTube watching this, Gary's been smiling like the whole podcast. He's a happy guy. Can you share anything like what have you picked up from your own country that makes people so happy there?
It's $1 million question. I always ask myself, why the heck are we not there top? Obviously, it's because, you know, there's not a lot of poverty, just to put some context into the great educational system and free healthcare, etc. But, you know, at the same time, we have this expression called Hygge, it says, which basically, I can't even translate it into English. That's the word. But the whole point is that it's freaking cold. It's dark. We have a couple of months with a little bit of sunshine, and it's like maybe 60, 70 degrees, and everybody's on shorts and t-shirts because, wow, the sun is out. So I think we just learn to appreciate things, you know, and look at the bright side of things, because it's cold and dark all the time otherwise. So yeah, that would be my answer. Probably different answers from different Danish people you would interview, but that's mine.
I like it. That's awesome. Very cool. David, over to you to close out the show.
Absolutely. Gary, if people are interested in learning more about you, what would be the best way?
Yeah, absolutely. Go to my website, garygarth.com. My Instagram, I am Gary Garth. LinkedIn, YouTube for that matter as well. I also do have a growth accelerator marketing agency. It's called elevate.io, ELEV8.io. You can find more about our services there. And again, look up the 0 to 100 million blueprint for the Goals, Grit, and Greatness planner. They're all on my website. Yeah, I'm happy to talk with anybody. Hit me up. If you write me on LinkedIn, I will guarantee I will get back to you. I always like to expand, grow my network, and help out it wherever I can. So look forward to hearing from anybody.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And looking forward to staying in touch.
Likewise. Ken, David, it was a pleasure.
Before you go, we wanted to share a new service that Ken and I have been using called Getida that has made us over $10,000 in Amazon reimbursements. The service requires no monthly subscription, and Getida collects a small percentage of the money they recover for you. It takes less than 5 minutes to set up and works on all Amazon marketplaces. Go to Getida.com, Getida.com, and enter promo code FTM400. That's FTM for Firing the Man 400 to get your first $400 in reimbursements commission free. How much money does Amazon owe you?